Good morning, caller. You're on the air with the three of us.
Good morning. This is Mark Edge from Free Talk Live.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good morning, Fred. I'd like to take issue with the idea of the trolley. Although I think it's enticing, the idea of being able to park in one place and, you know, go to Main Street and then go Colony Mill and then perhaps all the way to Home Depot, I think that probably the best way to handle it is for the city government to get out of the way and make it easier for somebody to put just such a business in place and to see if it works that way. Because many of these public transportation systems, I believe ours included, have a tendency to drive around completely empty for hours and hours. And we, the taxpayer, pay for the diesel fuel, we pay for the upkeep on them, and you never know whether they're going to work or not. I think it sounds like a good idea, but for the city to get involved means that everybody has to pay for it.
Well, you're right. Most public transit is highly subsidized. Whether you talk about New York City or whether you're talking about Amtrak or whether you're talking about any system out there that's public transit. I can't think of one that isn't public subsidized. In most cases, it's all locally funded as well. There are very few federal-level grants that support public transit of any kind. I'm sure the city would be very happy if there was a private operator who wanted to run a trolley.
But if there isn't one, then one might guess that perhaps a private operator, somebody who does studies on it, says, you know, this isn't going to work. Instead of 15 people who, none of whom makes their living doing a business like private, public transportation, you know, making up their minds and saying, this is a good idea. And I think it sounds like a good idea to my untrained mind, but I don't do these studies. I don't know. I don't even know what to look for when putting a business in place.
Mark, let me just respond. 30 years ago, give or take, the then owner of the then Cheshire Transportation School Bus Company here in Keene, which is now First Student, tried to establish a privately operated transportation system using basically his big yellow school buses. And as you pointed out, it didn't work. It was a financial disaster. And so that's the answer there. It doesn't work. But there are still people who need and use that type of transportation system. And I would argue that part of the quality of life issue in Keene and communities like Keene that provide this service at taxpayers' expense, we all agree to that. That's a quality of life issue, that there is this available to people who don't drive and need that type of transportation.
Sure.
And it's a good thing for a community to have that. It's perhaps one of the reasons that you decided to move to Keene and the Keene area, because you saw it as a community that cared about itself and was willing to invest in itself and has been willing to do that for a number of years. So that's my counter-argument to your we ought to let private business do it, because private business tried it. It didn't work, but there's still somewhat of a need.
And I would just add that several years ago, before the 30-year trial, but back 50 years ago or more, there was extensive public transportation in Keene, and it did work. It went out into the neighborhoods, and it was privately owned, and it went out into the neighborhoods. It had a set schedule, and I know I lived in West Keene, and rode the bus all the time. But that was at a time when there were fewer, I didn't until I got my driver's license, but there were fewer cars then. Some families still had one car, and so it was just a good idea to take the bus if you needed to, because somebody had the car at work or something. But, you know, with the there were more cars now, and I think that's why people don't take the bus as much or the trolley. And if we could get people back to the idea of taking public transportation, because it just means a whole lot less hassle for everybody, that would be a good thing.
I agree, absolutely. There would be less fuel burned, and that would be a fantastic thing. However, that's not the reality today, and we sort of have to work within some of the confines. And so far, public transportation in no community anywhere really has worked. I mean, there may be one somewhere. I don't want to, you know, make a broad brush statement like that. But Fred, is there the city of Keene, do they pass out medallions to taxi cab drivers?
No, there is a public utility ordinance. I believe I'm looking at Redfern a response here, but medallions, no.
That's correct.
But they do.
They, is there a limit on the amount of taxi cabs that Keene can have then, or not? And the companies?
Not the number of vehicles per se or companies per se, but I believe the fare charged is regulated to some extent.
That's correct.
So they the city of Keene decides how much a taxi cab can charge, more or less, right?
Except, are there any taxi cabs taxi cab companies located in Keene now, or have they all moved to Swansea?
You know, I don't know the answer to that. My memory is that they were all located in Swansea.
Right. And
that may
be an attempt to avoid that ordinance.
So are they avoiding the rates by being in Swansea, or do they have to abide by the rates while they're in Keene?
I have no idea. Do you know?
I'm sorry, I don't know the answer.
We're going to find out and tell you next week if you're listening.
Right.
Okay, I listen every week.
Thank you.
I knew that.
Your statement, Fred, would be that the city of Keene is regulating the amount that a taxi cab driver, or you know, just somebody who wants to pop in their car and take some people around who might need public transportation. In fact, they're regulating the price. Generally, but, you know, that's how these things go.
We do have another caller, so let me just finish it up quickly, Mark. Cynthia will have more and better answers for you next week. But part of that regulation has to do with insurance and protecting the people who use a taxi cab. You know, it's like a gypsy taxi cab in New York City versus a medallion taxi cab. There's a level of reliability, et cetera, et cetera. But we do have another caller. I'm going to stop you there. Thanks. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. And Cynthia will have better answers for you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Good morning. It's Ian from FreeKeene.com. How are you guys?
Well, I'm feeling better now that you've called.
You know, talking about the jail, Cynthia, I don't want you to feel like I'm picking on you or anything like that, but you happen to be the lone city councilor on the air this morning.
Thank
so I have a
God.
Question for you.
Okay.
I have a question.
Okay.
If you were became aware as a city councilor that there were a bunch of peaceful people who hadn't harmed anybody sitting in the Cheshire County Jail, would you do something about that?
It would depend on what they were there for. You can be peaceful and still be in jail for violating ordinances or things like that. So I guess it would depend on what they were there for.
Well, specifically I'm talking, and I'm sure Fred has some understanding of this, but I'm talking about the peaceful, consensual criminals that are in there for various things related to drug possession and that sort of thing.
You know,
Ian,
who did you ever determine who it is that kidnapped you and brought you to Keene? You had to be brought here against your will, because you're so displeased with virtually everything that goes on here.
Oh, Fred, I've been displeased for a long time with peaceful people being thrown in prison cells.
But you came here. You were brought here apparently against your will.
No, don't be silly, Fred.
Well, no, it isn't silly, because typically people move to a community, and I'm an example. I'm not native to Keene. I moved here because I thought it was a good place to live, and I was kind of happy with what I saw going on. But since you've moved here, you've done, it seems, little but try to change everything, and I didn't realize that the people of Keene needed to be saved, or the people of New Hampshire, for that matter, needed to be saved. And it strikes me, having read the Free State Project pledge, that some of the Free State Project members locally are kind of hijacking the original intent of it, which was to minimize government. And to that extent, I too am a Free Stater. I think government has gotten too large. But I don't believe that anarchy is going to work, or the laissez-faire approach that some of your people endorse, because that's not worked anywhere either. So why is it that you chose to come to Keene to change our way of life?
Well, to
Fred,
get back to your question about people being in jail because they have drugs.
Can we get back to that in a moment? Let
sure.
me address Fred's tirade there.
Okay.
Hang on a second, Fred. Calm down.
I am so calm.
I chose to come to Keene on my own volition because I believe it's a wonderful place to live, and I think that most things here are just great.
And now you want to change all of it.
Hang Hang on, Fred. The idea that I want to change everything or something like that's absolutely absurd. No change is going to happen unless individuals change their minds about what is right and what is wrong as far as initiating force against their neighbors. That's the only thing that is going to lead to significant change. And I called today to address just one issue, which, of course, Cynthia is trying to get back around to here, and that is the fact that there are peaceful people who have not done harm to another person or their property sitting in the Cheshire County Jail. There's another jail being built. This is a big issue, this new jail. And the reason it's being built is because the other one's full, mostly, for the most part, is, from what I can understand, full to capacity, and in some cases, apparently, over capacity. They had some cots set up in the gym at one point. And so the reason why it's full to capacity is because the governmental system is putting these peaceful people in there, and taxpayers are being forced to pay through the nose to keep, you know, give these folks three hots a day and a roof over their head. So, I mean, this is a real issue, and I think it deserves a serious addressing here. So I thank you for bringing that back around, Cynthia.
But what's the alternative? I mean, if you have someone who is using drugs, the use of drugs in this country or in this state or in this city is illegal. Should it be illegal? That's for greater minds than mine to determine. But it is illegal. Just as, you know, going over the speed limit is illegal.
You're correct. And people don't usually get put in a jail cell for going over the speed limit. But you are right. It is illegal, and it shouldn't be. People should be free to make their own choices about what things they put into their body. There are a number of things that are completely legal that you can put into your body and still do damage to yourself from a health aspect. In fact, there are some other drugs that you can put into your body that are completely legal.
What if whatever you've chosen to put in your body ultimately leads to harm against someone else, as in...
Well, then you have an issue. Then you actually have a case.
So we shouldn't try to preclude that in the beginning?
You mean, when you say preclude, do you mean put someone in a cage because they, you know, they might have a chemical addiction?
Yeah. We have rules and laws in this state, and you chose to become part of this state.
And I think the first thing about that is if they have an addiction, whether it's an addiction to alcohol, an addiction to drugs, even prescription drugs, mm-hmm. if they have an addiction, I think the first thing that should happen is that addiction should be addressed.
Well,
state-sponsored help. If that's what it takes to get rid of it.
Well, I see where you're coming from on that, but I'd like to point out that a lot of people have addictions. Addictions can come in a variety of different ways. Many people have addictive personalities. Some people could be addicted to sex or television or, you know, religion or various different, there are various different things that people can get hooked on. Some of them are more detrimental than others.
But don't change their personalities. Addiction to drugs and alcohol, normally when you take drugs or alcohol, it changes your personality.
I guess here's my objection, Cynthia. I mean, I see where you're coming from, that you're concerned with what people are choosing for their own lives, and you believe they should choose differently. And I might agree with you, and I think where we diverge is that you're willing to step in without the consent of that person and go ahead and force them to do as you would have them do. And I think that's the issue here. Doesn't that concern you that, you know, there's a group of people out there that are essentially laying down a certain moral code and essentially enforcing it upon people who have not harmed another person beyond themselves? I mean, Fred, I understand that if they hurt another person or destroy some property, then some action should be taken.
So let's wait until the cow is out of the barn, and then we'll deal with it. That's basically your philosophy.
I'm not sure what you mean by that.
Well, let's wait until they hurt somebody. Then we'll deal with the fact that it's the drug that got... But you never know. And you have no idea who that one person may be.
I had your kids smoke marijuana?
You know, not that I know of. But that doesn't mean that I'm naive to believe that they didn't.
Do you think that if you found out that if they did smoke marijuana, do you think they'd be better off if they were thrown in a prison cell for it?
No, actually, I communicated with Senator Kelly with regard to the decriminalization of small amounts, generally under 1 ounce of marijuana, that I thought decriminalizing it would be the correct thing to do.
They did that.
I agree with you, Fred.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine that.
I appreciate that. And I'd like to point out that the reason, most likely, I would guess that you're for that sort of reasonable change is because you understand that those drug users are, for the most part, responsible and able to handle their own lives appropriately, and they don't need some sort of forced intervention. So my question.
So should we have a set of laws for reasonable drug users and unreasonable drug users? We'll
most
enforce the law against.
Huh? Most of them are reasonable,
but
you don't know who most of them are.
Most are, but some are not, yes?
That's always going to be the case.
Okay, then let's have a set of rules, and we'll enforce the laws against unreasonable drug users. And
Fred, there are already rules in place for people harming others and destroying property.
Ian, I can't wait for you to get maybe another 10 or 12 years older, and I know you're going to get better with time, just like fine
are
wine.
Are you suggesting that in 10 or 12 years I'll support forcing people into prison
I,
cells?
I think you'll be more responsible and more reasonable.
Oh, my goodness. That's
and
not,
you that's have a great day because they're playing our song.
Bye, guys.
Thanks for
Bye.
Coming. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Good morning. I bet you thought I'd hang up, but I didn't.
Oh, no. Yeah. Have you been hanging for a long time?
Yes, I have.
Oh, thank you very much for doing that.
I just want to say, as much as I don't like rules, but there are rules for a purpose.
Right.
And I think this Ian, or whatever his name is, should learn that.
Oh, he will in time.
Right.
And I'm sorry, there's a lot of rules.
You probably are old enough to remember the what we used to or affectionately refer to as the hippie era back in the 60s.
I probably was in the middle of
you
it.
You probably
That's
were
okay.
out there marching.
If you remember it, you weren't there.
Now, they didn't like rules either, as I recall. And now most of them are captains of industry and political leaders here, there,
You're
and everywhere.
Right.
They finally figured it out and grew up. And
I was on UMass campus during Vietnam, okay? So, believe me. And now that I'm now older, and I didn't like my father's rules, and I didn't like his saying, as long as you're under my rules, do as I say. When you're out of here, do what you want.
Right.
I've been heard to utter those words myself.
And I've edited, told my own son, the very same words, and he looked at me just like I looked at my father.
So here's where I, too, am a free stater, because I believe government has gotten too big and needs to be kept intact. I'll bet you agree with that to some extent, too, caller.
Yes, I do.
But I don't believe in anarchy. I don't believe that we should do away with government and rules, which some of the current people who have moved to Keene and New Hampshire is what they're arguing for.
I agree with you, Fred, because I think maybe we're almost the same age. I may
Well, you're a lot better looking.
Well, that remains to be seen. But you're a little younger than I am.
Okay.
And I'm just saying, there are rules for a purpose. And if you want things changed, you organize to change them.
Right. And usually rules come into effect because something has happened to cause a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there wouldn't be any drunk driving laws if somebody in one person when they're way back when didn't get into an accident when they were drinking, when there were only two cars on the road.
Yep.
And I think that's, you know, that's how they come about.
You.
Most laws are reactive.
Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Very nice. We had a very nice.
Good.
Well, that's good. How's the old guy?
He's working because he has to pay bills here.
No kidding.
Yes.
Are you still doing that?
Yes, he
is. If you don't pay your mortgage, you know, the government will bail you out.
Well, maybe. I don't. Don't get me going. Okay, but he's working because he has to work.
Right.
And we don't like to work. I wish I could. I look at him every day. He has to go on. Oh, Rennie, if I could only do it for you.
Yeah.
And he just looks at me. But I would like to be able to go to work, but I can't. So everyone that can't go to work should thank their lucky stars.
You're right.
Right.
You know.
All right. Well, you have a great day.
Okay.
Pleasure to talk to you.
Bye-bye now. 357-1290, 866-357-1290. Good morning. You're in Talk Back.
Good morning, you two.
Good morning.
Hey, how's the jungle?
Hey, the jungle's great. Is this the Ian and Mark show?
Sometimes it seems that way.
Go ahead, Fred.
I was going to say, Mark is a very reasonable Free Stater, in my humble opinion. I think he gets it. Ian is still working on it. I like both of them, but...
It seems to me that they both forget. There's a cloak and dagger lowlifes that run around Keene and all the surrounding towns that they get a kick out of breaking into cars, and they call it nonviolent. Well, that's baloney, because when they break into my cars five times and Mickey Finn my motorcycle gas tank, I get very violently mad.
What does Mickey Finn?
Ordered a bunch of college kids urinating outside our house, and next thing I know, my motorcycle was Mickey Finn. So that's the thing you get for being a vigilant person. Now, my wife helped convict four of these lowlifes running around Keene with stolen credit cards. And is that a nonviolent crime, Ian and Mark? Or is that something that is just you do the time, you do the crime, you do the crime, you do the time type of thing? Is that to me is an invasion of someone's property that they stole these credit cards, tried to use them around town, and they finally got caught because the right person was paying attention.
Right, right.
And to come from a family with cops and fire departments and lawyers, it's like you have to be an abiding citizen. You can't just run around and shoot your mouth off and not get thrown in jail if you're going to do some kind of stupid crime.
Well,
when you break into my car, you better hope I don't find you.
Yeah.
With that, I'll go.
There you go.
All right. Have a great day.
Thanks for calling. 357-1290, 1-866-357-1290. Good morning. You're on Talk Back.
Hi. This is Dan.
Hi.
No, this is Fred and Cynthia.
Yes. Thank you. Great to get on the air. Thank you. I got to support Ian, and I'm probably somewhere in the vicinity of twice as old as he is.
So that makes you...
34.
Yeah. We're just teasing.
We're just teasing.
Actually, I think Ian looks a little bit younger than he is. What Ian is espousing is personal responsibility. Not government responsibility.
But not everyone has personal responsibility, unfortunately.
Not really. Not when you're not allowed to put certain substances into your body. You can't even hold them in your hand. It's illegal to hold a kilo of marijuana in your hand. It's just a plant that just grows. And you put it in your hand and you're breaking the law. That's crazy.
Then change the law.
Well, that's what's got to happen. But the thing is that most of the people out there, including myself, weren't involved in the making of that law. You know, you said earlier about something happened, and so then we had to have a law. Well, see, this is the normal pattern of government. Government, sees a problem out there, so sometimes they create the problem.
But government is you.
Absolutely,
it's you.
And me, Fred.
I don't consent to be governed any longer.
Well, then you need to go to a country where there is no government.
This government is so far away from being a protector of liberties for me. When they start coming back into the constitutional fold, we have a right to pursuit of happiness.
Yeah.
Why aren't they protecting that? This business of throwing people in jail left and right. Most of the people in jail are, in fact, non-violent criminals. They're not property criminals. They're not, the government has raised its hand and said, this is illegal, and you're going to jail.
But you are the government. You helped to make that law. You put people in power.
Fred, I did not.
Well, then you should have.
But how many people go to jail?
Actually, there in 1994, I ran for state rep here.
Well, there you go.
But how many?
I tried to get in, and, they didn't, of course, want to elect me. The thing is that the government is not going to, relinquish its power easily. It's, and it always will grow. People who are in power you know, seek more power, because it's the greatest. You talk about addiction. There's the greatest addiction in the world is power. And here we're not running these guys off and putting them in 12-step programs. We give them guns and throw them out in the streets.
All right.
How many people go to jail just for holding a small amount of marijuana?
I don't know the numbers, but I was in jail. I spent 8 months in jail in 2006.
For holding a small amount of marijuana?
No, this was for driving after suspension and failure to obey.
Why was it suspended in the first place?
Why was it suspended in the first place? Because I had a Nashua police officer who lived in my town actually decide that he didn't like me and swore out a false affidavit and got me convicted of, went into court.
What were you convicted of?
Convicted of passing a school bus.
Well, that's not a felony.
Huh?
That's not a felony.
No, he did the felony. He did the felony by swearing out a false affidavit and by perjuring himself on the stand.
Uh-huh. And it wasn't a school bus driver that observed this?
There was a school bus driver, and I foolishly didn't call her into court. I have an affidavit from the woman, subsequently to the judge. By the way, the judge and the police officer are no longer in the business. They turned out to be corrupt in other areas.
Yeah.
My local town was aware of the fact that this police officer did this because they interviewed the bus driver, and she told him, I remember the incident. Mr. Stewart came to me and asked me, to help him, and this was after the court case, unfortunately.
All right.
And they did nothing. My own police department, I paid taxes to support, did nothing. And if you're going to allow that kind of tyranny in a police officer, no matter where they come from,
we don't allow it here in Keene. So,
all right, Cole, we do have another call, and we appreciate your opinion. You have a great day. Good morning, caller. You are on the air.
Hello.
Hey guys, it's Ian. I normally wouldn't call a second time, but since Tarzan specifically asked a question of me, I just wanted to answer real quick. He was talking about car break-ins and credit card theft and things like that, and asking if that's nonviolent. It's not. It's certainly something I'm not for. I was talking earlier about people that harm others or do destroy property. So clearly, if you're dealing with theft or breaking and entering into a car or a house or whatever it is, there's a clear victim. Someone has suffered damage, and that person who has suffered damage deserves to be paid back restitution by that criminal. So clearly those people need to be dealt with. I was talking about peaceful individuals who have not harmed others, though I would like to point out that the reason car break-ins tend to happen is because they're after money or something of value, like a car stereo to pawn and then go get some money to buy some crack or some heroin with, because the inflated street prices that are a direct result of government's prohibition on drugs.
All right. You've made your point, and thank you for clarifying that for us. And we do have another caller. Thanks again for calling back. Good morning, caller. You are now on the air.
Good morning. I spoke to Al about, because I didn't understand on the drug marijuana, how much is an ounce of marijuana? So I told him, I went to my spice rack, looked it up. It's a whole container of spice. I mean, one container is a 5-inch jar. It's an ounce. It's a lot. It only takes one cigarette with, 3 puffs to get a high. And to me, the issue, I know that Ian says it's a victimless crime. But it's not a victimless crime if people steal, they break into your home, if they break into your cars, if they get onto the road and they harm your son or daughter while under the influence.
Or you.
What's that?
Or you.
Or you, right. And I think that becomes the issue. We saw the case in Charlton where the woman had a little bit of wine. There were two 19-year-old kids who were killed on a motorcycle because her judgment wasn't there.
Yep.
And we see we've seen these cases. And what does she get? 2 years in jail, potentially for killing two people.
Sure, that's because the Charlestown police screwed up the investigation,
quite honestly. But even if they didn't mess up the investigation, if you do it in a vehicle for some reason, we poo-poo and say, well, it's not that important, or we devalue those lies somehow and say it's an accident. Well, it's not an accident if you are intoxicated or under the influence of marijuana. And we can't seem to get stricter laws on that for those families. If they even get a sentence, they let them out maybe in 5 years. Well, that doesn't solve it because their children aren't coming back. So, you know, there's not a justice system here. We have a legal system, but not a justice system. And that becomes a problem when we have 50,000 deaths per year in the United States to put more people on the road with more substances in their body. And I'm not sure he understands that. Maybe he doesn't drive while he's on the influence if he does drugs, but a lot of people do.
Right. Well, you're preaching to the choir, basically, here, caller.
Well, you're in favor of it.
I'm in favor of decriminalizing, not legalizing, and there is a difference.
Right, but when you decriminalize, what they did in Massachusetts, they used to get 6 months in jail and a $500 fine. Now they only get a $100 fine for, like I said, an ounce, which is equivalent to a whole container of spice, which can make a lot of cigarettes. It's not two cigarettes, as someone said on the show. And then someone else made the statement, well, if it's decriminalized, let's tax it. I'm like, oh, great, because now we need the government to come in and start selling it.
Yeah.
So it becomes a slippery slope, and it's a lot. I mean, maybe if they did a small quantity, but even then, you're still going to put somebody on the road out there.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye now.
Good morning, caller. You are on the air.
Good morning. How are you both?
Okay. Hey. How are you?
I'm fine. I hear the folks involved with the Free State Project call up, it seems, every Saturday morning. I don't know. Maybe they call up during the week. I don't listen as much. But, I find the discussion interesting. I was just looking in Wikipedia, of all things, which seems to be for a lot of students, and maybe people generally, it seems to be the research tool of first resort these days. And, when I hear talk about, I hear a lot of the rhetoric of the free staters. I guess the only concern I have is about a sort of anarchy that might lapse into violence, although I don't know the extent to which any of those folks have actually participated in such things, because I just don't really know them. I live outside of Keene, so it's hard to say. But I was looking at Wikipedia, and I guess one of the two partners in this radio show enterprise, his name is Mark Edge. And it says
that's his radio name.
That's his radio name.
Yes.
It says here, and I'd be curious if he would speak to this, because it's a little bit freaky. And, the information you see in Wikipedia is not always accurate. So maybe he can correct it if it's not true. It says, on January 29, 2007, was revealed that one of the show's co-hosts, Mark Edge, had served 9 years in prison for his involvement in the 1988 strangulation murder of a Florida motel manager.
That's true, and I have had that conversation with Mark. He has publicly acknowledged that. Maybe on this radio station, I'm not sure, but certainly on Free Talk Live, which is the radio station you're referring to, that he and Ian are involved with.
So what was that about?
Well, I don't know all the ins and outs. Apparently, he was involved with some other individual, and it was a motel owner who had fired or let go this other individual. And Mark, my argument, and Mark can speak for himself, was a much younger man in those days, and by his own acknowledgement, was probably doing things that he shouldn't have been doing. And he got involved in this particular situation and wound up doing 9 years in Florida State prison as a result.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I could take 9 years in prison. So maybe
I'll bet I couldn't.
I bet I couldn't either.
Maybe he's a better man than I am. But, on the other hand, God, the sort of lecturing that these people constantly do, they're always on a sort of weird moral high horse. And
yeah.
So, man, you were involved in a strangulation murder?
He and I have had coffee, and we communicate occasionally, and I find him a very likable individual, quite honestly. And I think of the free staters that I know that have moved to this area, he is the most reasonable. Again, in my opinion, he understands there is some level of need for government. But he, like I, agree that most government is out grown. It's gotten too big. Certainly
right.
The federal government has. And he should be the leader of this project, but he doesn't want to. Some of the others who call this program are more anarchists, more
right.
Anarchistic.
Well, it seems like the main host of the show, too, you know, it seems like a weird combination of being something he believes in, but also incredibly, it's a great job for him.
Oh, sure.
Right, sure.
In a way, it's a little bit of a scam.
Yeah.
Because it's like there's a lot of this rhetoric, but he doesn't really walk the walk in terms of his civil disobedience.
You're correct.
Wasn't he involved in some sort of thing recently where
his couch.
He was cited for contempt or something like
yes.
that? And cited repeatedly for contempt and had the opportunity to really stick it out and, I guess, make his point that spending 90-some days in jail is just an absurd overreach of the government. And he cracked after 3 days.
Yes. Well, I don't think that's accurate.
That's true.
The judge will let him out after 3 days.
But he apologized for his behavior.
That is right. He apologized.
In front of a judge that he said that he had been saying,
right.
He didn't even recognize his authority. So what's the deal? Either you walk the walk or you don't.
You're right. And I've had this conversation with Ian by email. And he rationalizes, to use a word, because he has a driver's license. He puts license plates on his car, even though they're from Florida and they're probably illegal, because he doesn't want to confront the system quite that much at this time. But all that said, we do have to go to a break.
Right.
All right. Well, I'll keep listening. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for your thoughts.
Good morning. Yeah, we are on Talkback.
Good morning. The Free State is, they've got an agenda to do, but they don't really have a plan. And I've got a plan for them to follow.
Okay.
They get in the car, find Route 9 West, cross over the river in Vermont, get on 91 North, go to Canada, cross mountains. Canada's wide open. They can go up and start their own little free state up there. And who knows where? Northwest Territories, Yukon, Northern Quebec. Nobody's going to bother them.
They not only don't have a plan, they don't have a leader. And I've had this conversation with Ian and others, and they just chastise the hell out of me for thinking that way, perhaps similarly to the way you're thinking, caller. Do you live in Keene or in the area?
In the area.
Yeah. So they've come here to save you. I want you to know that.
Yeah, well, they come and save me too close. I'll save them with a...
There you go.
I don't need saving.
Oh, there you go.
I didn't think I did or the city
okay.
did either, but apparently we're in error.
Okay, and extend one last point.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't drink and I don't smoke.
You're a very boring guy.
So you can't go to the hookah bar, but you can go to the hamburger place on
the old transportation center. Right, now we'll get thrown the county clink for, quote, doing nothing.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right.
Thanks.
Have a good day.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye now.
357-1290, good morning, caller. You are on the air.
Hey, good morning, Fred, Cynthia.
Hey, how are you?
How are you?
I'm doing well. First, on a lighter note, is that the center stage and King Rotary, we have changed out the banners on Main Street.
Oh, good.
So you have all nice, new, brand new banners that have never been seen. First year for these banners for Christmas.
Uh-huh.
So hopefully that'll bring a little cheer to the area.
Would you come and change the flag on my house to Christmas?
No problem. And it's funny, all this discussion, what I've gotten my kids to drive to them is to two rules to follow. Is number one is you don't hurt yourself or others. Number two, you stay out of jail. If you break either of those rules, your life will never be the same.
That's true.
Yeah.
And it's pretty easy to remember. And this idea that I should be allowed to hurt myself in any way that I see fit does fall back on society in any number of ways. And obviously Ian just is not in touch with this stuff.
He'll get there in time.
Yeah. I used to tell my kids, watch whatever you do, look over your shoulder because I'm going to be watching you. And if you think I'm watching you, would you do this?
Well, Well, and that's exactly right, and you know, that's certainly, we try to instill that in our children with the idea that if we do a good enough joy a job, it carries them into adulthood, and then they carry that into the next generation.
Right.
And obviously, in, you know, in the words of in Peter Pan, you know, that Ian maybe needs a new mommy.
Can I change subjects with you and...